When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Please don't. No point. Say that, please.
Hey, hello, leavers, believers, and LGBTers plus. You have arrived at a very special episode of Leaving Hillsong. My name's Tanya, and it's Pride Month on Leaving Hillsong. So, before we go any further, before you start writing to me with, hey, Pride, well, Pride cometh before the fall, which, yeah, obviously it does in the Northern Hemisphere where most of you are. Please save your keystrokes and my eyelashes from having to work overtime. I'm not interested in your translation of what you think the Bible says about gays or whatever. I just don't want to know it. You want to know what we're about here. I remember when I started this page and I started the Facebook page and all these people turned up going like, what are you about and what are you preaching? And it's like, oh, well, we're just against exploitation and abuse and silence. My day used to be silence equals death. So I can guarantee that most of the listeners and all of the guests have heard these arguments time and time again, and that's not what we're going to be doing this month. So just a little like warning, if you don't like it, we're going to have a lot of great content in July, and you're welcome to join us back then. And that's like not about me refusing to be wrong or open-minded or anything like that. I've been at this a very long time and I've heard the same stories time and time again. And yeah, silence can equal death. We're about saving lives from the effects of rejection and shame and humiliation and isolation. Actually really excited about the range of guests that have agreed to come on the show during the month and share their experiences with you. Wow, there's some stories out there and there's some really, really good endings, hopeful endings, so stick around. There's a little bit of Hillsong news. You've got Brian and Bobby in Rome with Casey and Wendy Treat, so they do figure into the longer term plan and, you know, they're happy to be getting back on their feet again with those guys. So, the rest is certainly going to be interesting. Norway has pulled out all 9 churches from the Hillsong Network. What happens next remains to be seen. Grace is currently recovering from the flu or some kind of illness. So, thoughts and prayers with her. She's been replaced with Matt Draper, who we're going to meet today. There are some tough topics discussed in this, so take your time. get back to it when you're comfortable. Look after yourself first, as always. And I think you're also going to have a lot of fun with this. He comes from such an interesting background and he's just so much fun. So let's jump into A Kind of Empathy. Hey, Japs.
Hello, Tanya.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, God, I'm really good, thank you.
Finally. Thank you for joining us all the way from, where are you? Right.
I'm in Reno in the UK, and that is somewhere near Manchester where the football is from. Yeah, sort of like midway, between somewhere between Wales and Scotland in the middle of England is.
Okay, so like it's like where it's 20 degrees and you think it's a heat wave, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Although it's every day, we try to go through all the seasons in a week if we can. So we have freezing cold rain on a Monday, sunshine on a Tuesday, some autumny blusteriness on a Wednesday, and then nice spring cool showers on a Thursday, and then back to sunshine again for the weekend. And here we are on bank holiday, and it's actually quite nice.
That's so exciting, in celebrating the Queen, and we're going to be celebrating some Queens, I suppose, aren't we? Oh, dear.
Pride Month.
Yes, it is Pride Month, and I'm really excited. Thank you so much for saying yes to the Leaving Hillsong dress and, yeah, agreeing to help me, help us, help Leaving Hillsong navigate through some of the different stuff we're going to be looking at and the people we'll be talking to during the month. Do you want to tell people a little bit how you came to stumble upon the Hillsong stuff? So should leave it up to you to...
I mean, how long have we been friends? Quite a while. I was...
12 months.
Is it only a year? Surely more. At least two. Well, I think it is 2 years. Yeah, I had just left a very, very toxic church of my own and was writing up my experiences at a church that's fairly sort of Hillsong-esque. And I was doing some research around Hillsong and around the experiences of LGBTQI people within those kinds of churches, and must have stumbled upon your fabulous book, the original research on evangelical churches and their treatment of people. And I was absolutely delighted to find another book in the same genre of sort of half biography and half explaining the bad theology behind evangelical churches and also explaining just the kind of abuse that goes on within them. So it was absolutely fascinating to find it. So we must have then connected on Twitter or Instagram or somewhere like that. And, you know, the rest is history, besties, best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm thinking today, like, we've just developed that really classic kind of relationship where, you know, you indulge me and I indulge you, and yeah. It's all kind of not realistic, but it's, you know, it's fantastic and everybody gets a smile, I suppose. I mean, you had, I find so much of your story just so fascinating as you grew up in, you grew up in a really, really kind of conservative, fundamentalist as it gets environment, really, didn't you? And I... 10 siblings? Really?
Yes. I'm one of 11 children. We had this, what I describe as an extremist Christian childhood. And it was very sort of Duggar-esque. It was very quiverful.
Okay.
A lot of people might understand all those.
Why quiverful? Tell us quiverful. Where's that from?
Quiverful is kind of, I don't know if it's a specific organisation or it's just a sort of a general collective of people who are doing the whole homeschooling thing, who are using that Bible verse that talks about having a quiver full of arrows, you know, your children are like a quiver full of arrows.
Okay.
And so their whole idea is that God opens and closes the womb and they don't have, you know, they don't have any kind of protection or family planning, so they just go straight in and have as many children as possible. So my mom ended up having 11 children. She had several very dangerous pregnancies within that, but she was absolutely determined that God would open and close the womb. And Dad was determined that we wouldn't go to school, that we'd be homeschooled. And we sort of started off fairly sensible,
And then, you know, like, you know, fairly like borderline normal. And then we ended up moving out to sort of farmhouses. My dad lost his job, so he became more and more isolated. He started following more and more of the American Christianities. They got connected with Accelerated Christian Education, which is the home education side. Yeah. They connected with Above Ruby, which is the Quiverful side. So they just kind of got more and more extreme.
And what was the education like? Because we've talked about it a bit before, and you know, you read far more vastly than I do. You're always in libraries and museums and exhibitions and things. So, I mean, you were homeschooled right the way through?
Yeah, me and my sister and then later on the other nine children, we were all homeschooled fully from ABCs all the way through. And so when we learned our ABCs, each of the letters came with a character, say, A for antelope. And it was discussed about A for antelope, and she rushes around too much and doesn't have enough time for God, and so brings various calamities in her life. So it's that kind of thing. So from our very ABCs, like, each letter had a biblical principle linked to it. So okay. As well as learning your ABCs, you also learned your Abrahams and Benjamins and Calebs. So okay. So the whole of the education system was fully doused in godliness. So at the end of every other page of our learning, we had to write, like, memorize Bible verses, things like that. So really, like, there was no difference between doing a page of maths and doing a page of Bible. That was how sort of ingrained the whole thing was within it. That was the accelerated Christian education. And so within that, you know, we also learned, you know, their sex education basically was non-existent. We learned about chickens and eggs and how the male chicken fertilizes the female. And that was about it when it came to sex education.
Well, I mean, just your grammar is exceptional, though. How did that happen?
I was one of the lucky ones with homeschooling because it just suited me. So our homeschooling was a page of reading and then a page of questions. And then at the end of a booklet of sort of, say, a couple of weeks worth of that, you have some tests. And for me, for some reason, that just suited me immensely because I just read and ingest, and I'm able to, like, puke all that information back out again. For most of the rest of the family, there's dyslexia issues and, you know, not really having proper teachers that are able to teach them, and they have struggled to, although they interact well with the outside world and they're able to live and love and live and laugh, but we, you know, there's a massive education issue. I was just lucky because I could read, and so I just read and read and read and read and read.
Okay. I mean, do you think that made a big difference?
Yeah. It made a difference for me because I was able to, you know, even though we grew up in this very isolated farmhouse, we had a library that would pop along to the top of the road once every 2 weeks. So we'd go to the mobile library, take out the books. I read tons of Star Trek books, which are all full of very diverse characters. And I was obsessed with the Muppets. So I was, like, able to kind of feel this kind of connection to people who were different from what I was. So I would have been, otherwise I think I would have been too isolated, just around the extremist Christians to perhaps ever realize, you know, there's a different kind of world out there. So, and I just somehow, despite everything, was born with a kind of empathy and a kind of compassion that just meant that I was able to develop a link with the outside world, even without really going out into it too much.
Okay. Now, your parents didn't stop you from reading those books? They were okay with that? They didn't censor anything? Or
I think my parents just, they couldn't really keep up perhaps with everything that I was reading. I mean, originally we had all the Christian books. We had the Swiss Army Robinsons, and we had, like, the Alexis Secret Mission and all the sort of the ones published by the actual education, the Christian education groups and things like that. But eventually I outgrew those books, and we had all the Famous Fives and all the kids books and stuff like that, but nothing to do with witchcraft. Harry Potter was obviously banned and things like that. We actually left the church because the pastor referenced Harry Potter in one of his sermons. And so we actually got up and walked out of the sermon midway through. As you do. Why would you not? Yeah. I mean, I probably would these days, but that's beside the point.
All 13 of you anyway, or whatever. Okay, righto. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were all 13 of us lined up on a pew. The minister starts talking about Harry Potter. Up gets my father, we're leaving. Up we all trace. It's embarrassing, it's humiliating, but there we go. That's what we do. Yeah, we always got in trouble because we didn't go to the Sunday school. We always was expected to sit quietly in church, which we did, but it made all the other families very uncomfortable because they sent their children quite rightly to Sunday school to learn things that are suitable for their age, you know, for their age and understanding. Meanwhile, we're sat in church learning about Lot's wife and Sodom and Gomorrah and so on.
Well, I guess, and it always comes back to the old Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't it? So since we're on that topic, what were the messages that you got about non-heterosexuality then?
Well, we didn't really see any non-heterosexuality. It wasn't really presented as there's straight and there's gay or anything like that, really. But it was just one of those things that you kind of just somehow absorbed from more from how people, you know, said that it was wrong than from knowing that it was right, if that makes sense. So you never really saw a good example. You only ever heard bad things. So within our homeschooling, we were taught only about STDs in relation to any kind of sex outside of straight marriage.
Right.
And the AIDS epidemic was linked to the actions of gay people within our education. And I remember my dad had this book on the side in his house which he was reading, and it was something like about the Nazis actually having been gay, like a lot of the top Nazis were really gay, so that's why they started the war. So it had a big picture of a swastika on the front of the book, and it was called the Pink Swastika. That's right. God knows what's in it. One day I must get it and read it. But obviously, as we know, the Holocaust targeted not only different races, but different sexualities and different types of being. Yeah. So somebody twisted that storyline into, you know, gays are evil and are Nazis. It's just absurd to even imagine.
Yeah, like, you know, they're very sort of neat, those. No, because I mean, one of the things I wonder is when you decide to homeschool all those children, like what kind of a future is envisioned for them? Like, what are they likely to become? I'm not going to be doctors and lawyers. I mean, what are they, or are they?
Oh, yes. I think they're intended to absolutely become doctors and lawyers and politicians. Certainly within the quiverful, especially in America, the idea is that you train these people up, train your children up to take over the government. Oh.
So it's not just to become like, sorry, but that we've only ever seen that sort of 17 kids and counting thing where they just go on to get married and have more children. That's not the end goal, is that?
Well, for women, absolutely, that's the end goal. But for the boys, the idea is, yes, the idea is absolutely to try to take on the government. You know, the idea is that there's an oncoming apocalyptic war between, you know, the worldly Europeans and the Christians. And we were taught that you absolutely are expected to join that war. And, you know, my dad described the family as bringing up an army. But ironically, we've pretty much all turned into atheist now, and probably would be on the other side of the army, so it's ironic in a way.
Okay, now, well, out of the 11, I mean, how many are faith-filled believers?
I mean, it's not my place to say publicly what they think or don't think, unfortunately. Well, you know, but I would say
got time to go through them all.
Not many of them are still Bible bashing full-on Christians, you know. Certainly some of them have become full-on pagans, so, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic to see where we went and where we took our understanding of the universe, and you still have to understand the universe is magical in some way. So a lot of people who leave evangelicalism, you know, go straight towards kind of witchcraft or Wicca, or go straight towards kind of paganism. And just understanding the universe in, you know, still in a magical way, or, you know, or towards different religions and things like that. Or when people leave, they, you know, they stay in the Christian faith, you know, which it's your tradition. Like, I find it really hard to leave that element of it being my tradition. So at Christmas, I want to be in church. At Easter, I want to be in church. But it's hard to be there, you know, but there's patterns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
To Christianity that make the world just a bit more interesting. You know, I know that that's true within atheism as well. It's true within, you know, any way of understanding the world. You know, everybody finds their own magic and their own beauty in the world, but it's really hard when that gets like fully removed from you and then you have to rebuild it in some way.
You know, at what point did you end up breaking away from all of that? Like, was there a moment or a what happened for you as a young man?
Look, I was lucky again because I was gay. So I had something that was inbuilt within me, which went against the teaching that I was receiving. And, you know, discovering that is a slow process, you know, like it's, and you know, and people understand their sexuality very differently. But for me, there was something that was just completely, that just solidly said, I don't want to have, you know, a relationship with a woman. I can't picture myself having a family. I don't want to be in that kind of a relationship. And I didn't really understand what that meant particularly, but I also, you know, realized I was having crushes on guys, you know, crushes on friends at church or celebrities. I mean, Owen Wilson back in the day, obviously, as my screensaver.
Owen Wilson.
I mean, come on, I'm allowed. Look, I didn't have a lot of choices. Something about Owen Wilson and the peace and the calm and a white t-shirt he was wearing, and, you know, and then look, I'm sorry it was Owen Wilson. I'm sorry to Owen Wilson.
I mean, it's
got to
be the what?
Yeah. Jennifer
Aniston of like, okay, fine, wonderful, continue.
Yeah. There's got to be someone. There's got to be your first celebrity crush, and it's embarrassing, but there it is. I think it was from Armageddon as well. It's just, oh, it's awful. Why? I can't imagine.
But I mean,
poor Owen Wilson.
I hope he gets to
look,
find that
has
out one day.
Crush. For a lot of people, it's Robin from Batman.
From Batman?
So, you know, it wasn't Robin from Batman.
Robin
from Batman. Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah, Robin. Yeah, what? from the original Batman movies.
Oh, well.
That's a lot of people's sexual awakening.
Not the Batman himself.
Maybe Poison Ivy for other people. Well, I don't know, Batman's man, they're probably more of a daddy figure perhaps, whereas Robert was more of a sort of a muscular twink, I suppose. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it all works.
Who knew? I mean, that and the Muppets as a way out is fantastic. I actually quite love that story that you got.
Well, this was the thing. The Christianity came crashing into this innate part of my identity, whether that's, you know, whether that's born or whether whatever it is, we need to have that discussion, but it was something that made me question at least one element of the religion. And so that kind of meant that, you know, if I'd been straight, it's very much a chance that I would have just got married and had children and been trapped in the same systems like quite quickly. But
okay.
Because I wasn't, I didn't end up, you know, in that early marriage and so on. So, you know, I was stuck in this place where I was still carrying all the trappings of Christianity and extremism, but I couldn't live out the dream. So it just gave me that position to escape, which was lucky. A good 10 years later, when I fully came out properly, when I was about 25, then the family's reaction was just so sort of, my mum said, oh, well, if you can bring a boy home for Christmas, then surely your brother can bring home like a dog as his partner. Things like that. So, yeah, there was all of that element where, the separation from the family.
I mean, so you talk about it in terms of an escape. What happened?
It took me a very, 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 very long time to escape. That's what happened, really. Because I spent such a long time thinking, yes, I might be gay myself, but I'm not going to do anything about it because that would be wrong. Jesus loves me, but Jesus doesn't want me to be gay. God is going to send us all to hell, but we're going to rescue as many people on the way as we can. Like, that's love. And so, yeah, so it took me, it's just the most extraordinary length of time. I developed the most amazing non-Christian friendships. Okay. I went to university, you know, and I could see from the world around me that people were living these, you know, very ordinary, not extreme sinful lives, just very ordinary people with ordinary lives. And obviously, the whole thing about being in a culty kind of Christian world is that you're told that without Jesus, you'd be stealing, you'd be murdering, you'd be abusing everyone you meet, which is what they do in the church. But, you know, they're basically all the time, they're pointing to the people outside and saying, if not for Jesus, I would have stolen all of my shopping from Sainsbury's, but I paid because of Jesus. Like, so you kind of be going through life thinking like, oh God, everybody's a murderer apart from me because I'm a Christian. And then you meet normal people who aren't murderers and you're like, ah, okay.
That's so disappointing, isn't it? It's like,
honestly, oh. Yes. I mean, I was told that everyone was having all these massive sexual orgies, and you know, it's only a few people.
Where the orgies gone? It's definitely not Roman times. But I thought that everybody was so deeply, deeply unhappy. That's what we were told. You would just be so miserable, and like you said, ordinary lives. They just weren't. Waited for the unhappiness.
Yeah, people were just living. And mine, if anything, less weighted than we were. And we were saying to people constantly, like, well, Jesus will break off your chains. Let's just put these chains on you first, and then we'll break them off. That's just how it goes.
That sounds like very painful times.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
Yeah, the most extraordinary, the most painful element was just this idea that God can do things like miracles, like healing, like, you know, changing people, say, from gay to straight, something like that. Look, God can do these things, and he's choosing not to, and you must pray and have faith and believe until he does. And that, for me, was the most painful thing, because it's like, what am I not doing to not get the miracle? And I think people, you know, a lot of people...
Where'd you heard about
the healing must go through... that's a good question. I think it's just in that era of Christianity, which was sort of like late 90s, early 2000s, that era of Christian teaching in all of the churches, pretty much. We didn't go to a specific branch. We went to Baptists and Methodists, and we went to Church of England, and we went to all sorts of independent churches. And they all just had this general vibe at that time that being gay was wrong, and that there was change was possible, and that God was a God of miracle worker and all of this stuff. So like, no one really specifically told me it. And we're also, when you know, the internet was around then, so I was able to look up, like, I think I'm gay, but I'm a Christian, what should I do? And there was only two, it was literally only two branches of thought back then. And the first branch was, do whatever you want, leave Christianity, become a massive, you know, whore. And the other option was like, stay and, you know, either like just go into a straight relationship and hope it works, or stay and pray for change, or stay single and just don't do anything. And those are the only two branches of now there's endless branches. So now, you know, there's people who understand that, you know, they understand being gay is not wrong, you know, from the point of view of the theological point of view. There's people who understand, you know, that there might be translation issues. There's other people who say it's fine to be gay in church, but, you know, you should remain celibate, and that's what they choose to do, but it's their choice now. And there's other people who say, you know, you leave the church, and there's other people who say you can be in a different religion, you know. And now also, like, you know, they're allowing gay marriage in some churches. So some churches, like recently the Methodists in the UK, have voted to allow gay marriage. So there's different options now, whereas the options when I was younger were literally only like leave Christianity entirely or stay and suffer.
And how did you make the choice? Like, how did you arrive at that point where you...
Yeah. So, the truth is that I was at a point where I would have either died or come out, because, you know, I'd not told a single soul for 10 years about my struggles and about my suffering, if you know. So I was praying every night that God would, you know, that I just wouldn't wake up in the morning.
You know, I have to tell you, I hear that just too often, just so often. It seems to be that's the choice eventually for people. And I'm so glad you woke up time and time again. Mm. What did you do? How did you do it?
Somehow I just, back then I had this connection to Jesus that really helped me. So even though I felt really sinful and I was like, you know, all, you know, having all these lustful thoughts and so on, I still felt like Jesus was really close to me and really like my best friend.
Okay.
And I would, you know, and when I would pray that I'd either die in the night or wake up, whatever, you know, I still felt like I had Jesus like with me, and that even if God was like wrathful or so on, you know, Jesus was like on my side, and that just really helped me at that time. And then, but eventually got to a point where I said, right, I have to be at least honest with my friends, because I was lying to everyone. And this was the other thing. I was like big fat lying all the time. And like, okay, even if I wasn't directly lying to people, I was, you know, just like implying that maybe I would have a crush on someone, or maybe, you know, and like implying that I wasn't gay and having to act a little bit more straighter perhaps and things like that, which is not easy for me. Yeah, so it's hard. I don't really know how I did that, but I was lucky because people thought I was weird because of my background. So I was able to play it off as like, oh, I'm just waiting for the right Christian woman, because, like, yeah, you know. So yeah, I could pass it off. But anyway, eventually I was like, right, the line has to stop. I have to come out. And I sent an email to my parents, and on the same day I told some of my friends. And a few weeks later, I kind of came out more openly to the people around me. Just at that time, I wasn't planning to have a relationship necessarily, just to be honest.
No, and your parents, you were saying that went extraordinarily well before. How did they take the email?
Well, I mean, it went okay to begin with, because they're very, they just assume that everyone is suffering in life like they are. So my mom was like, oh, well, you know, I'm really envious of what other people have, but I don't come out as an envier. you know, yeah. My dad was like, you know, you wouldn't come out as a murderer. So, yeah.
Okay.
So they were kind of okay in a way. Like, I was still able to go home. And then, but eventually it got to the point where they said to me, you know, you can't be gay around our under 18-year-old children, because you are going to persuade them, I suppose, to be the same.
So it's infectious, is it?
It's extremely infectious, apparently.
But only to the under 18s.
Okay. Well, I guess if you're over 18, you can make the choice for yourself. But the under 18s, yeah, I was told you can't see your brothers if you're going to be gay around them. I don't know would have defined that at the time, because I wasn't in a relationship. And even if it was, like, what does that even mean?
Wow. It's
absurd. But anyway, eventually the family thing all just collapsed. And that was when... Okay. I decided, well, if I'm not going to have a relationship, but I am going to be out as a gay person, I'm going to devote my entire life, like a nun almost, to Jesus.
Okay.
So I was like, well, you know, I can have the community of a church. So I found this church in Sheffield, which was like a kind of a more of a modern charismatic church. It was Church of England. It was Baptist. It was independent. They were like merged into one church. And it was kind of wannabe mega church. All of the Hillsong music, all the Bethel music, all the drums, all the lights, all of the, no smoke machines, but, you know, not far off. And so I went out of sort of extremist sort of wannabe Amish type, Duggar type Christianity. And I went into this sort of mega church mentality, you know, money focused.
And what was that like? Did that seem extremely...
It was very a fresh, gorgeous, fresh stream of life. It was just love, because all my life was just God is suffering is life. And this church was like, God is love and love is life. And I was like, love. Oh, I just loved it. I used to lie down in the aisles between the seats in the shadow of the cross. They had a big wooden cross on the front stage. I'd lie in the aisle on the carpet and just let God love on me, as they say, and just absorb that. Just, oh, it was just so refreshing. It was just so life-giving. And they were all like, lay down your burdens, you know, just accept the
you
love.
Literally lay down. Okay. Mm.
Mm. Oh, I take things very literally. Like, there's there's a lot of autism in my family, and you know, we take things very literally. And so, and I think in some ways that's why my parents, they've never been diagnosed, but I think they took some of the extremist Christian stuff just far more literally than it was ever meant to be taken. And then we did the same. Me and the other kids then took what our parents taught us far more literally than even they perhaps.
And I mean, you're not being facetious there. Like, it's. There are a lot of people on the autism spectrum within the, you know, fundamentalist evangelical community. Mm. That's so interesting, layer upon generation. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, this was, I mean, until it later on turned into an absolute nightmare. When I first went in, it was like, yeah, other young people like my age who were Christians who were struggling, who had tattoos. Imagine, Christians with tattoos.
Wow.
I know, long hair, you know, all the business. You know, some of them had been having sex before they, you know, and now they were Christians. And, oh, God, there's so many interesting people, interesting stories. And, oh, it was wonderful. Obviously, it turned into a complete nightmare, but we'll get to that eventually. Yeah, and also this church, I went there open. So I went there and I said to the management of the church, I'm out as a gay person. I don't really know what that means yet. I don't really know where that's going to lead me yet, but, you know, I'm either in or out. And at that point, if they'd said to me, well, you're not welcome here, I would have left Christianity, packed up my bags and gone. I'd written it down in my diary. I was like, last chance saloon. And then, but they were like, no, that's fine. Like, you'd be really welcome here. We're going on a journey without ourselves. It's a journey.
Okay. We're
going. People lie. People lie a lot in church. We don't realise that.
Oh. That's pretty much as far as we can get without levelling up to the next kind of trauma level. So... please join us for part two where, yeah, the nightmare kind of starts and we talk about gay conversion therapy and how Draps came out the other side and ended up writing his book, Bringing Me Back to Me. It's a really great story. It's rough, but there is a fantastic ending. So join us both. It'll be out sooner rather than later. Stay tuned. Keep leaving Hillsong. And we'll talk then. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.